Today on Wings, women seek peace in Cameroon.
Women have not been consulted on how this crisis could be resolved. And yet women are the ones bearing the brunt of the crisis in the bushes and as IDPs. And so we think that it is important that women could be the alternative towards looking for solutions for this crisis.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service. Since 2016, Western Cameroon has become engulfed in violent struggle. It is an area once colonized by the English within a country once colonized by the French. The two parts of Cameroon have different educational and legal languages and traditions, and the one-party government and its president for life don't support the continuation of that difference. A teachers' and lawyers' strike in 2016 was met with lethal violence. That aroused a violent resistance, and the violence spread. Patience Wingo and Linda Negobison report.
Women in Anglophone Cameroon wail in pain. It is the pain of losing their husbands, children, relatives, and friends to a war they believe should have been avoided. It is a war that has claimed at least 400 lives. Over 500,000 more have been forced from their homes. As the men flee into the bushes for fear of the unknown, women are now taking up roles traditionally meant.
They are digging graves to bury their relatives because they are not men.
60-year-old Mrs. Futungo is one of the women who has buried a child who was killed.
He was washing his dresses. A stray bullet came and entered his stomach. So we had to carry the boy to the hospital. From there, I was scared. I did not even go back. I came here smelling blood. Even I stayed for some weeks just feeling the smell of the blood. The men were running. They were fleeing out because they were scared of the gunshots. It was terrible.
Decomposing corpses are strewn in the villages and surrounding bushes. With the men having fled, women in a place like Bello in the Boyo Division of the Northwest region are now forced to bury the dead. It is a role considered taboo. A Yerima of the Kom Kingdom, Kininsom, understands what this means in the cultural setup of Cameroon's northwest region.
I can best express you what is happening with the Song of Lamentation, a song that tells you that there is melancholy all over the land.
A woman is not supposed to manipulate a corpse according to our tradition. And when it is happening like that, we think that it is going to provoke a calamity.
The present calamity has a history. In 1961, the people were denied the right to vote for independence. They chose confederation with French Cameroon, then two constitutional changes took their federal status away. Back in 1985, the independence movement chose a name for the country they wanted, Ambazonia. Now, Ambazonia has a flag, a cryptocurrency, and weapons. Patience Wingo.
The crisis began as a lawyers and teachers strike in 2016 over perceived attempts to destroy the legal and educational systems practiced in Cameroon's English-speaking regions. But the protest morphed into the political realm, with the population demanding independence and the creation of a new country called Ambazonia. In the face of a worsening security situation, many now see God's face as the only source of refuge.
Send us destiny, help us. Send us destiny, help people with potential, people with potential, oh God, and we shall get to our destinations in heaven. In the mighty name of Jesus, I decree and I declare that.
Some of the effects of the conflict ranges from economic, politically, and social.
Ada Mba is founder and coordinator of the nonprofit organization Mother of Hope Cameroon.
Much of the population are in a very devastating situation now. Our economic structures have greatly been affected, and there's a high rate of unemployment. There is also a high rate of insecurity and also crime wave. Most of our young people who used to be very industrious are no more industrious, but have joined the other side. Some of them have joined the armed groups and they are there as fighters.
Rather than spray good vibes, your spray bullets come for your house, open fire, then call them stray bullets. You just killed the mom of a child who just lost his dad. Now we join the people fighting this battle to fight back.
Women and girls are paying a disproportionate price in the war that has continued to intensify. Many have had to give birth in the bushes with no access to hospitals. Others have been raped, and many children have died in the wild from snake bites.
Talking on the situation of women and children is so devastating because the level of poverty has greatly increased. We realize that most people, especially the poor people, were really affected by the crisis is in the provinces. Their houses were burned, their businesses were all shattered, and most of the schools have really been burned and they can't really be able to have their children go to school. The burden of the parents keeping their children at home is so heavy that you can imagine. You also have the loss of lives, and it's affecting the economic power of our country, because most of our men are being killed and our young people are killed, and we are losing the economic power which we have in terms of human resources.
Keeping children home from school is part of a so-called ghost town campaign, a tactic from Cameroon's pro-democracy movement. In January 2017, a group negotiating Anglophone demands with the government called on people to show solidarity by not doing business or going to school on specified days of the week. Authorities cracked down on the participants. By mid-2018, security forces had burned down more than 130 villages. Militants started imposing ghost towns, burning dozens of schools and keeping tens of thousands of children away from classes. Families are squeezed between the violent forces. Patience Wingo.
Towns that were once bustling with life have gone dead with the imposition of ghost towns by separatists. Failure to respect the ghost town call means you could end up either dead or permanently maimed.
The ghost towns phenomenon is becoming something which is standard in our lives. It's draining our economy, it's draining our energy, it's draining everything. It's a way of protest, it's a way of portraying that the people are angry. And I think that to be able to solve this problem, they need to be able to see possible solutions on how to be able to get the people to talk it out. We have to be able to see how to talk to the minds of people and tell them that it's our economy we are destroying. It's ourselves we're destroying, and we need to be able to stop it. Because if we don't stop the ghost towns, we'll all one day lose everything that we have. We just cannot be able to sit and shut down every place because we think that is a solution. Maybe other solutions can be possible for the crisis. The Anglophone regions have really been grounded because of the ghost towns, and it is something that is really affecting the lives of the common man. We are seeing that if nothing is being done, the ghost towns will instantly increase and will suddenly have dead cities, dead towns, and dead villages. And so we're pleading on the power that be that effective and fast and concrete solutions be reached to be able to re-establish our lives again in these regions.
Margrace,
How can you describe the effects, the negative effects of the current crisis in the Northwest?
Since the Anglophone crisis began, the women are not the same as they were, because women are the first victims when there are any crisis. We deliver the children. We are the housewife to our husbands. Many of our husbands have been killed. Many women in the Northwest region have died with babies in their stomach because of the crisis in some villages in Batibo subdivision. And also it has affected women economically. We cannot carry out a small petty business because we have to observe the ghost towns that are being called for. And so even to go to our farms is even a problem. So we have not even planted our food in the farm because we're afraid that when we get to the farms, we don't know what can happen to us in the farms.
Perhaps the greatest victim of the Anglophone crisis is education. And here too, girls are paying a disproportionate price.
Merci Akwangwa Awunti. I am a teacher by profession and appointed as the head teacher of GBS Upper Bayeli Anglophone. It has not been easy. Every day they are being attacked in school by unknown gunmen, making the work so difficult for us to handle. We have recorded this year a great loss and drop in the enrollment. Some of the children have been attacked and killed in their suburbs and towns. And right now in Bamenda, no child is going to school.
Maybelle Yinwe is a student.
I am a student based in Bamenda. I hadn't been to school in over a year due to the ongoing crisis. This time around, I decided to brave the odds and go to school, but it has not been easy. With the gunshots in the morning, in the evening, most of the times when you go to school, you need to find somewhere around school to sleep because you're not able to go back home. Maybe there are gunshots on your way home. Before you even go to school, you have to call someone. Maybe the person is in school, and then you ask the person, how are things that way? Do you think I should come? When we get to class, we're sitting in class, but all we're doing is looking outside. Why is everywhere so quiet? Then you're like, why are people running? What's happening outside? You can barely concentrate in class with few times that you get to school. Over a month ago, there were gunshots and we had to run. We're in class. We came out, everyone was running in their own directions. Some people ran into bushes, some people ran into people's homes. And since then, we haven't been to school. I don't know if I'm going to be able to go back. So I've just been at home, and to get a job is really difficult. The businesses are not really moving forward. We're just hoping that things get better in the future.
My name is Nina Gisla Yancy. I am 21 years old and doing Masters in Biochemistry at the University of Bamenda. I have started my semester, but towards the 27th of September, the campus became so tense because of this crisis in the country. So I had to leave school and I went to Kumbu so that after the 1st of October, I will come back to school. Back there in Kumbu, the situation became worse. Gunshots seemed to be what woke me up from bed every morning. I saw people dying every day. As a student, I tried to use that opportunity for doing my research, but there was no electricity, so there was no way to do research. I stayed indoors for weeks without going outside for fear of a gunshot. There was a day I went to school and was driven away by a gunshot. Some of my classmates were removed from their houses at night and beaten.
That children are being stopped from going to school has become a concern, not only for Cameroon, but for the international community. During a recent visit to Cameroon, the Secretary General of the Commonwealth, the Right Honorable Patricia Scotland, said the deprivation of children from going to school was a bad option.
We in the Commonwealth have done everything to promote education and well-being, and you'll know that there is a fundamental principle in terms of equality between gender, but also equality between all our citizens. The education of children is something which everyone promotes, and no one is suggesting to me, not opposition parties, not the government parties, that stopping children from going to school, particularly young women and young girls, is at all acceptable. 60% of our Commonwealth are below the age of 30. Here in Cameroon, 60% are below the age of 25. They are our future. So anyone who deprives children of those opportunities must be deprecated.
The government has insisted Cameroon must remain one and indivisible. Issa Chiroma Bakari is Cameroon's Minister of Communication.
We must remain united. Cameroon is one of the privileged nations on earth for having the two official languages, French and English. We have to protect and promote it. As far as our brothers and sisters Anglophone are concerned, I would like to mention what I have already noticed, which is taking place. The next generation will be more English-speaking. So please, please, don't allow irresponsible people to call for secession. It is wrong. This crisis is moving to an end because the government has already taken all measures. Secession will never take place, and violence should stop. And dialogue must continue. Dialogue must be the only framework, the only possibility that all problems, no matter how complex and tough they are, is through dialogue.
While calls for dialogue have been coming from various quarters, the Cameroon government decided on a military crackdown. The effect has been that more people have been further radicalized. Civil rights activists like Sally Boumien, founder and coordinator of Common Action for Gender Development Association based in the Northwest region, have been pressuring government to take action and find a lasting solution to the crisis.
We are primarily out to uphold the sexual and reproductive health rights of women and girls so that those women can have a decent life and enjoy social inclusion. Our work has just increased because with the current crisis, women and girls are still the highly affected. In the region, we have women who give birth in the bushes instead of having those babies in a well-modern unit. That is a violation of their right, their reproductive right. There are women who have right, they need contraception, but they cannot access it. There are women that are being raped. They are being taken advantage of because they need food. Okay, there are women that have to give their bodies in order to secure just food for a day for their family. My organization works with girls within Nanga Eboko that left the Northwest region and are internally displaced persons living in Nanga Eboko. And most of them have confessed to prostitution as part of survival. With the current crisis, the woman is at the disadvantaged position at all levels of her sexuality. Even sanitary napkins that they need to use within their periods, they cannot access it. Some of them were already on birth control methods, family planning methods. They can't access the services in the bushes, in the new towns. Because when they relocate, they are struggling to first of all settle down before thinking of their health. A good number of women have abandoned their businesses. Most of them were farmers. They were into vegetable farming. They've abandoned their farms. And you will not believe that most of them had taken microloans from credit unions within the region. So they are not only left to suffer, but they have huge amounts of debts to repay in different credit unions within the regions. That is why we are looking for partners who can help us to teach these women some economic skills, give them some little startup. They need to start from somewhere because we don't know when this crisis will stop, though we hope it should stop soon.
Yes.
But why we hope their families have to eat. And mark you, most of these women have lost their husbands within this crisis.
And children.
And children too. Now I have a case in hand. Her husband was shot. And she has three children, a set of twins and one boy who is physically challenged. So all of that is so stressful for a 24-year-old girl. So women are really, really paying the price for the crisis. Either they are raped, either they are widows because their husbands were shot within the crisis, either they are left with a large family to take care of because mother and father are dead due to the stress. A young girl finds herself taking care of a family of 14. And right now, the part of it, which is disheartening, is the relocation position. We have Yaoundé, Douala, Bafoussam. These are the three towns that people have moved into. I saw a young girl who was in Yaoundé living in a one-room house hosting eight members of her family who ran from the Northwest. She has to go an extra mile, which means they obviously putting their hands in something dirty like prostitution to be able to feed. Whoever is listening to me should come to the aid of Cameroonian women and girls, especially women and girls from the Northwest and Southwest regions.
What are the solutions you've been working on with the help of some government officials?
I, as a person, I have worked with a team of women who are also leaders of women-led organizations within the Southwest and Northwest regions. The organization is called SNOT, Southwest and Northwest Women Task Force, where women, we are coming out with possible solutions to the current crisis. We need people to listen to us and trust the fact that as women, we have a solution to the crisis. We have come out with a document struggling to propose what can be done to help Cameroonians come back to peace. And we carried out the lamentation campaign within the Northwest and the Southwest region to draw the attention that the death toll is high. And we are ready to talk to anybody who is ready to support us, because the objective is to end the Anglophone crisis.
Journalist Linda Ney-Gobison hosts the weekly radio program Gender Issues for Cameroon Radio Television. She tells more about the Southwest Northwest Women Task Force.
This is a visionary organization that was created by women for women under the leadership of the coordinator, Madame Umam Esther, who together with other women thought that it was important for women to bring in contributions towards resolving the existing crisis in the Northwest and Southwest. The initial plan was to tackle the humanitarian crisis that was very much visible in the two Anglophone regions of the country. And what they did in the first weeks of setting up this coalition was to identify internally displaced persons, provide humanitarian assistance, and also provide food and non-food items to those in need. It was also important to look for strategic ways they could contribute towards resolving the crisis. And so the next issue they decided to target was insisting on women's representation in strategic organs meant to resolve the crisis. These could be strategic bodies that seek dialogue. These could be strategic bodies that discuss on solutions towards resolving the crisis. But as a coalition, the women thought it was important that women's voices be part of the dialogue, that women's voices be heard.
In any crisis, the only solution is dialogue and effective communication. And that communication begins with every one of us.
Eileen Manka-Tabuwe, a gender advocate and a member of the Southwest Northwest Women Task Force.
It begins from the way we talk to one another. It begins from the hate speech which we shared over the social media. It begins on how we look at our brothers and sisters. And we're changing the narrative of people to be able to understand that. The solution comes in training more people, especially women, to be able to be actors of peace in the things that they do and everywhere they are found. If you give love, you receive love. If you give hatred, you receive hatred. So we are just changing it and telling the people not to share hate messages, communication that is dangerous, communication that cannot be able to build or cannot be able to help us foster our development. We are calling on the power that be, that they should be able to change their language. They should understand that we all need peace for the development of our country. We are part of the process, and we are hoping that God is going to bless us all so that we find effective solutions to the problem.
Women are saying that violence is not the solution to the crisis.
Again, Linda Ney-Gobison, host of Gender Issues. The acronym IDP stands for Internally Displaced Persons. The acronym for the Southwest Northwest Women Task Force is SNOT.
Up till date, women have not been consulted on how this crisis could be resolved. And yet women are the ones bearing the brunt of the crisis in the bushes and as IDPs. And so we think that it is important that women could be the alternative, towards looking for solutions for this crisis. For instance, we could use women as mediators. We could use women as peace advocates in the various communities. And we think that because women are often not considered so much as a threat, and because they are mothers and sisters, the messages that women carry could be easily accepted. Beyond providing humanitarian assistance to over 50,000 people, SNOT has tried in its own way to sensitize the public on the role of women in conflict. SNOT has also, in partnership with the UN Women, conducted training for women on mediation. You know, it's very important to give women skills, because if we say that we want to be part of the strategic organs that seek solutions towards the crisis, then we have to be able to have these skills. And so with the help of UN Women, over 50 women were trained on mediation. Secondly, the women have been able to put forth a position paper which was released in Yaoundé. And we think that we are already seeing the fruits of that position paper due to some of the decisions that are being taken currently in the country. We can see that we are getting many more women appointed to positions, you know, positions that have never been occupied by women before. And then we can see the recent release of the documents by the UN. So we think that so far we are already doing a lot, and we plan to do much more in the days ahead.
Nobody wins in a war, that's true to the facts. Let's have a peaceful conversation, then we start to react. Guns down for a minute, let's pray for a better day. Sit face to face, we can walk this out a better way.
Members of the task force are pained, like every woman is in the Northwest and Southwest regions. I mean, we live this crisis every day. We go out of our houses, we are uncertain of what will befall us or what will befall our loved ones left at home. So our position is that the time to end the crisis is now. It's not tomorrow, it is now. And solutions that will take maybe months to achieve are for us not effective solutions. Why don't we seek solutions that could bring this crisis to a pause now? We want the crisis to end, not to end tomorrow, not to end in 5 years, but to end now. I think that is our position as women, because we have suffered so much, and you cannot measure the pain and the suffering that we are going through, and we cannot put a time on it. We say the time to end pain, the time to end suffering is now.
President Paul Biya has just engaged another term of office. In taking the oath of office, the president said the Anglophone crisis will be high on his agenda. Cameroonians now hope the president will devise a formula to bring the war to an end. Patience Wingo reporting from Cameroon for Wings.
You're wrong for your doings. It's easy if you admit it. Let me take responsibility for mine, then we'll give it. Give me what I want and I'll give you what you want. We all got so much to lose, you understand? You can replace everything with another life.
Thanks to Patience Wingo, Linda Nagobison, and Carla Seidel for excellent work on this report. Music by Cameroon's hip-hop queen, Askia. To hear Wings programs again, email wings@wings.org or visit our new website, wingsradio.org. We appreciate your community radio station. Suzette Cullen and Genevieve Vaughn, editor of the book Women and the Gift Economy. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album, A Circle is Cast. I'm Wings series producer Frida Wharton. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.